I'm going to read the first 16 verses of Isaiah 59 here, and you follow along. And I want to direct your attention to some very specific words and at the end of this portion of Scripture, and that'll be the thought for us this afternoon. Follow along as I read, beginning in verse 1, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice's eggs and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood."
He said, these people have sinned with a great sin. And yet he still felt the sorrow of it, even though it wasn't his own. You remember how the Apostle Paul felt for his kinsmen after the flesh? In Romans chapter 9, in Romans 10, he said, My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they would be saved. Over in chapter 9, though, he said that he wished that if it were possible that he could be accursed himself from Christ, for if it meant that his brethren could be saved. The point that I'm making here is that there was such sorrow of heart and burden of heart over the iniquity of the people. That's what was Moses, that was Paul. But in this situation in Isaiah, there was this great need, but nobody felt the need. Nobody was burdened over it. And what's the point that I'm trying to make here? I think that we can readily make application to the present state of our country. That there's a great need for intercessing. There's a great need to pray for our country. We see the wickedness and the insanity that is going on around us. We see it all. We recognize it. We look at it. We talk about it. We see the direction that this country is going. But what we need instead is to feel the sorrow of sin enough so that it causes us to fall on our knees and talk to the Lord about it. Amen. I get frustrated, just like you do. I get frustrated at times. And just feel helpless even at times, as if there's nothing that I can do. But God has burdened my heart to this end that I need to pray. You know, every time I think about the election now, I am fully convinced that there's been a lot of cheating going on. I don't think it's even a question anymore. And there are those who deny it, but they're denying reality. But I've been convicted every time I think about this election and all the cheating and all of this and all of that. And I get angry inside, but there's this little voice that says, well, have you prayed about it? Have you actually talked to the Lord about it? The one who actually can do something about it, if he will? Have you gotten on your knees about it? And I think it's like we sit there hoping, telling ourselves that it's going to be all right, that it's all going to work out. And rather than engaging in prayer over the need, we'll sit there and wring our hands and hope that it's all going to be okay and it's all going to work out. Have you done that? Have we actually gotten on our knees about it and taken it to the Lord? I'll tell you, we've said for years and years that one day persecution may come, haven't we? One day it may be illegal for us to speak the truths from God's word in regards to morality and so on. One day it may be illegal to do these sorts of things, and what we don't realize that it's really literally already here. And it's probably just going to get worse. I mean, you think back to July when Governor Newsom in California banned even any church meetings at all, and he went to the extent of banning in-home Bible studies in your own house because of COVID. You really think that that's what it's about? Oh yeah, and you can't sing either. It's against the law to now sing. No singing, church or house. I feel like standing up like the movie Elf. Have you ever seen that? I'm here in a store and I'm singing. I'm like, I'm in a church and I'm going to sing. Whether you care about it or not. Like, well, that's not that big of a deal. Can't you just put on a mask for just one little bit to try to save humanity? Can't you just stop meeting in those essential services for just a little bit to save humanity? Let me tell you, I'll tell you what's essential. The world doesn't see it, but I'll tell you what's essential. It is essential that God's people feel the sting and feel the burden that it causes us to go to our knees. I could give you some more facts about what's happening in our country right now, making the truths of God illegal. I'm not going to do that. But what I'm trying to say is that there's a great need for intercession. And would you add our country to your prayer time? Not just, Lord, we pray for our country. You know how sometimes we can do that? We're going to pray for something. We mention a few words, but it's not really in the heart that's burdened over it. I just pray for our country. Be specific. Pray for God to burden our heart over the sin of our nation. Does it bother you that people run headlong and fight to blood for the right to kill babies? Does that bother you? It bothers me. But do I pray about it? Do I take it to the Lord? We ought to pray for God to burden our heart over the sin of our nation. For God to move on our heart and on the hearts of other true believers all around this country for the same thing. Only God is the one who actually can do something. I think the system is so corrupt and the system is so huge and the machine is so unstoppable that only God can be the one to actually do it. We need to pray for spiritual awakening for God's people. And for God's people to stand up and make their voices heard. How many people live in fear of retribution or fear of being told on or fear of being condemned because you're an anti-masker or something else like that? I guarantee you, if that is how a person feels, they will also back away from real Bible truth that is condemnatory to this world. They won't stand up for righteousness. It's tough because on the job, the prayer request this morning, in men's prayer meeting, there's a desire to speak out for truth, but there's got to be some wisdom and discernment as to when it's actually profitable and when it's going to actually hurt. That's true. You got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Sometimes the word of God says, answer a fool according to his folly, and other times it says, answer not a fool according to his folly. You need to have some discernment in that. But one thing cannot be ever mistaken, that there's not resolve in my soul to stand for truth, number one, and then pray to God, number two. We need to pray for spiritual awakening is what I'm talking about. For people to make their voices heard. We need to pray for exposure. Only God can actually be the one to make it happen. pray for exposure, to pray for justice, and to pray for truth that has fallen in the street. There's a great need, friends. And God wondered that there was no intercessor because there was such a need for one. How come there's not? I think we are guilty of the same thing sometimes. I know I am. Like I say, we watch this stuff and we'll wring our hands and we'll be just like indignant about it, but do we actually pray? Do we actually get on our knees with a burdened heart before God? Say, Lord, you've got to do something. Could you honestly say that's really been you? Don't raise your hand. Okay, raise your hand if you want to. Are you understanding me? Are you with me here? God wondered that there was no intercessor because there was such a need for one. But you know, there's a lot of encouragement that comes. And God wondered that there was no intercessor when there's such encouragement for would-be intercessors. Because look at verse 1. Go back to our text and look at verse 1. Notice what the Lord says here. Behold, pay attention, look at this. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. What encouragement to the would-be intercessor. God is not done. God has not lost his power. He's still on the throne. His hand is not heavy, or his hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. Have you ever felt like, what's the point? I have felt that way recently. What's the point? But God is still able. He's still as able as he ever was, and he's still as mighty as he ever was. Amen? Look at Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50 in verse 2. I'm sort of just talking here. Sort of just kind of letting some feelings out even. But hopefully it resonates with you. Isaiah 50 and verse 2. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all, that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. He goes on to say, I clothe the heavens with blackness. I make sackcloth their coverings. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, and so on. Here's the Lord's ability right here. He says, do I not have power to deliver anymore? And then he says, behold, at my rebuke, I dry up the sea. Who's the one who has the power with a word to dry up the sea? It's God. Amen? And we see story after story after story in the Old Testament of God performing miracle after miracle. And in the New Testament, people just in awe and wonder that what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey his voice? Is God's hand shortened that he cannot save? Genesis 18 and verse 14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Look at Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. The point I'm trying to make is this. We shouldn't ever get to the point where we say, what's the point? Or what's the use? It's true that at some point we can't stop that political machine, but let me tell you, it is still up to God. It's still up to the Lord. And besides, we have such great encouragement to be intercessors. We have encouragement from the Lord himself. We have encouragement from the Spirit of God. We have the promises of God's word. In fact, look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 6. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and note this, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Guess what? God wants to reward those who diligently seek after him. God is a rewarder of those who would seek him. We have all kinds of encouragements in the Word of God to seek after the Lord. Listen, what is the answer to our problem? What can we do when we feel so helpless? Well, you know 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, then will I heal their land. God is ready and able, but we have some responsibility. Look at Lamentations chapter 3. I know where Lamentations is now in my Bible. My new Bible. Jovi thought that was hysterically funny because it's still the same Bible. It's still, they're always still in the same place. Like, it didn't change from coming after Jeremiah. I'm like, I know that, but it's, I know right where it is in my other Bible. It's a new one. It's in a different place, okay? I don't know if you remember that or not, but never mind. Like I said, I'm just talking. Lamentations chapter 3, look at verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts with our hands unto God in the heavens. Look at the encouragement we have here. What's the point? Keep taking it to the Lord, friend. Keep taking it to the Lord. This is the point. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? In the situation that they were in? All right, go back to Daniel chapter 3. Let's just take a quick look at it. Daniel chapter 3. This is a pretty dire situation. One that we've not been in yet. But I want you to note here their confidence in the Lord. In chapter 3, look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Now, they're not saying this is flippant. They're just saying, we're not worried, and we're not full of care, and we're not full of concern here. All right? Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Note their confidence in God. They said, if it be so, our God that we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And whether he does or not, he is going to deliver us out of your hand. And then he says, but if we go into the fire, know this, we're not going to bow. We're not going to serve thy gods. We're not going to worship your golden images because we worship the one true God. What confidence in the Lord they had. Either way, God is able to deliver us from this. He's able to work in our country, friends. He's able to work some miracles. He's able to turn it around. But if not, we're still going to be delivered one way or another because of the power of the Lord. Amen? 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 But one thing's not going to happen. By God's grace, we're not going to bow. we're not going to fold, and we're not going to cave. Amen? They had such confidence in the Lord either way. And I would say that when it comes to this matter of intercessory prayer, when we have this mindset, we're burdened for our nation, we're burdened for the sin of the people, and we take it to the Lord, that kind of intercessory prayer also has a way of helping us keep our focus on the Lord. It helps keep calm in the soul in the middle of troubled times. Because otherwise, we fret, we fear, we worry. And what did they say? We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. We're not full of care and worry about this. God is able to deliver us, if it be so, if that's his will. But if not, he's going to deliver us one way or another, and we're not going to worship, and we're not going to bow. What I'm saying is there's a great need for intercession, number one. There's powerful encouragement for would-be intercessors. God can. He's able. Amen? But then thirdly, I want you to notice the possibilities within the reach of an intercessor. What can be accomplished if there was? Would it even matter? Well, I think the Bible gives us some examples. Go back to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. Moses and Aaron here. And I want you to pay attention to verse 44 and following. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation. And behold, the plague was begun among the people, and he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. What would have happened if there wasn't intercessors here? What would have happened? They all would have died, right? And when it happened, what does the Bible say? That God said, I'm going to consume them in a moment. And what was the response? They fell on their faces before the Lord. And they made intercession for the people. Do you remember Peter in prison in Acts chapter 12? What was about to happen to Peter? He was about to be executed. He was going to die. And what did the church do? They prayed. And they made intercession. And what did God do? He worked a miracle. Amen? Look over in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. In verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? And here's the principle and the point. Jesus said, isn't God so much different and better than an unjust judge? And he says in verse 7, "And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry unto him day and night, though he bear long with them?" Listen, God hears, God listens. What can be done with an intercessor? What can be done is that God can work miracles. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 18? Fire and brimstone was coming. God was going to destroy them. And yet God would have spared Sodom and Gomorrah when Abraham interceded if he could have found 10 righteous people in those cities. It could have changed God's mind. That's the answer. That's the answer. Would it even matter? The answer is yes. It does matter. And much can be accomplished because it's God who is the one who accomplishes it. And what we need to remember here still, in the midst of all that's even happening in our country, God is still not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If God were to spare things in our country, we ought to pray that God would do it for the furtherance of the gospel, so that we can keep preaching the gospel, so that people can be saved. Our motive is very critical. We should not pray, "Lord, do something in our country so that I can keep living my happy, free life." Are you with me? I want to. I love my freedom. But it's a selfish prayer, and it's only to be consumed on my own lust to say, "God, would you intervene and keep freedom in this country because I like the lifestyle that I have." Our prayers are going to be different when we feel the burden and the weight of the sin of the people, and we say, "God, would you spare America? Would you spare your people? Would you spare not your people, but the people of this country? And Lord, we have sinned and we deserve your judgment. But Lord, would you spare it so that we can continue to preach the gospel so souls can be saved?" We got to work and ask the Lord to help us to come to that motive. Because it doesn't come easy for me. The truth is, my flesh doesn't want to go through persecution. My flesh doesn't want to suffer. At the same time, I need to be willing, like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, to say, "God is able. He can. But if not, one thing's for certain, he's still going to deliver me one way or another." Amen? And God will accomplish his purposes. He will. And he's still not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I will just close with this. It's good for us to remember sometimes how we've prayed in the past for things. I remember specifically some things we particularly prayed for, asking God to do relating to our missionary, Brother Noah. Only things only God could do. And we by faith stepped out. I said, "Lord, would you do this?" And the Lord answered the prayer. Amen? And the Lord worked on our behalf. It's good for us to remember how we've prayed in the past, how that we have seen exciting things happen. I love hearing of the exciting things related to missions going on in Liberia through Fargo Baptist Church. I love hearing that. I love hearing about the exciting things happening over in South Africa. Why do those things happen? Well, number one, God is not willing that any should perish, okay? But number two is because people are praying. People are praying for the Lord's will to be done. That's why these things happen. And I'm simply saying this. It's good for us to remember that the Lord does answer prayer and the Lord does work. And let's just take that a step farther and pray for our country and ask the Lord to burden our own hearts. God wondered that there was no intercessor. These people in Isaiah complained about the difficulty of the times. But they weren't burdened enough over it to give themselves to the Lord and seek his face and to be an intercessor. I think we are guilty of the same. We complain about the difficulty of the times, but we're really not burdened enough over it to take it to the Lord. And that's what we need to do. And in doing that, it has a way of helping keep our own focus right and our own eyes on the Lord. Hopefully that's connected with you today. Some practical things, and let's chew on it for a while. Let's be committed to pray for our country. And at the same time say, Lord, your will be done. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your people. Lord, challenge us in the days that we live in. And I'm certain that you are using and want to use all of these things for multiple reasons, one of which would be to sanctify yourself and your people, to separate your people from this world. And Lord, let us be people who are intercessors. Lord, drive us to our knees. Lord, grow and build our confidence in you and all of these things. Lord, I pray that we would experience a measure of spiritual growth. We would experience a measure of the grace of God, the hand of God, the power of God. And Lord, we do pray for our country. I do pray for our president. Lord, I pray that there is exposure to all the lies and all of the cheating and all of the corruption and the terrible agenda that's behind it all. Lord, only you can expose it, if you would. Lord, I know that you can. Lord, I pray for an awakening, a spiritual awakening in the hearts of saved people all over this country. Lord, that we would, in falling to our knees and seeking your face, have power to make our voices heard. Voices of truth, speaking truth from the Word of God. Voices of righteousness, preaching the gospel, which is truly the only hope for our country or any other country. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to get out of the way, get self out of the way and set aside. And Lord, our prayers would be fervent with a pure heart and a pure motive. Lord, may we not be people who sit back and wring our hands and hope that things are just going to work out and move on with life. But Lord, may we be burdened over the need and truly take it to you, the only one who has the power to save. Thank you for the day. Thank you for these dear folks. Bless them, give them courage and boldness to preach the Word of God, to be witnesses on their jobs. There were so many men this morning asking prayer for certain individuals that they work with. Give them boldness. Give them discernment and wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.